Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. I mean, John.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, Dreaming with Freddy. This year, we will review every Nightmare on Elm Street movie. This week, we are reviewing Wes Craven's New Nightmare and Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. John, we're spooky season's back.
Spooky season is back. And what better way to start off spooky season than with my new notebook? My old notebook after three years?
3 years? Yeah.
3 years. Oh, yeah, because we're doing a third annual one. I know, I know math.
Math, yeah. You do. Between us, yes. You're the math guy between us.
I finally filled up his pages with wonderful, wonderful, beautiful notes of this podcast that I will auction off to the highest bidder.
It's part of our lore, our folklore.
It's basically the equivalent of the Necronomicon and the Evil Dead.
Basically, yeah.
A lot of nonsensical notes. I realized halfway through, I was like, I should really put the dates on this. And then I was like, nah, it's better if it's timeless.
And you wrote it all in blood. Human skin.
I'm using my new notebook, which is The Woodsboro Murders by Gail Weathers. If anybody's a horror fan aficionado, this is a book that Gail Weathers, Courtney Cox wrote in the Scream series.
In notebook form. Really cool.
A movie made by, the series made by Wes Craven.
Look at you. Great. That's a great tie back. I like that. So we're reviewing every Nightmare on Elm Street movie in reverse. We, of course, are now starting with New Nightmare, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Which is sort of like his send-off of the series.
Directed by Michael Bay. We're going to watch the series in reverse, so hold on to your purse. Because we're going to dive into this curse of Wes Craven's hearse. Oh, no, too soon.
Okay, cool. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Also, I'd like to point out that I wrote this because I was like, oh, what are we officially going to do for our Halloween series? And I had wrote a long time ago because I think we decided this a while back. The Nightmare on Elm Street series as an acronym. And it looks like it says Noe series. So we're doing Noe series in reverse. Coming in at number 3 for Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Heather wants franchise to die.
That's just accurate.
And coming in at number 2 for Wes Craven's New Nightmare, Wes's pitch film for Scream.
Yeah. Definitely got to get into that. Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Wes Craven's New Nightmare, Freddy doesn't know rattlesnakes.
Yeah. It's a very.
I was quite bothered by that, wasn't I?
Yeah, that's a cute observation we will definitely talk about because I thought it was a little ridiculous. But so this was Wes Craven's return.
Oh, just little babies, Wes Craven. It was his scary dreams.
I think we lost the audience with my mispronunciation of his name. They're gone. So whoever's
we
here,
we gained a whole new following.
Yeah, whoever's here, yours left. Wes Craven's return to the Nightmare franchise after really doing the first one. I think, from what I understand, I think the New Line Cinema kind of, you know, cheated him out of some of the merchandising, cheated him out of some of the rights. So, and for the new, what was it, for Freddy's Dead, you know, the sixth movie in the franchise, they pretty much said, Freddy's dead, he's done, but, you know, nothing's ever truly dead. And they did this, I think the one smart thing was bring back Wes to kind of put his exclamation on the series. So, John, what are your first thoughts on New Nightmare?
You know, it's kind of weird to think when this movie came out, I thought it was super badass, but I was also young.
So did you watch it? No, sorry, I had a question. I was just going to say, like, did you watch it when it first came out or years prior? Yes.
No, I remember watching this when it came out.
Okay.
Which, a couple of movies came out at the same time. And you know this because they used all the same footage from the Northridge earthquake that happened like literally a year before that. I want to say Escape from LA came out around this time.
Yeah, they definitely shot some B-roll.
And it's funny because like the way everything is lit in all these movies, you can tell they came out at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very stylized this part of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I still like it a lot. It's just, I didn't recall the movie kind of falling apart that way at the end. Like it just starts to make, like, what are the rules? And then like, things don't make much sense. We have kind of casually discussed, there are some scenes that got cut from the script, probably due to budget restraints or something like that, which might have made things a little more interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know. It's okay. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say similar. Now, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I still enjoyed watching this movie and the next movie we're going to review in the same episode way more than I had any sort of joy watching the fucking Paranormal Activity series, which was torture for me.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of bad ones, specifically the one with the daughter and they're all witches and the kidnapper. That one wasn't particularly good, but, I just say that I like that Wes Craven's New Nightmare. This feels like a sort of what he was going to do next, right? Because this very much feels like a rough draft for Scream. Yeah, and the 100%. Self-references, the sort of, you know, breaking the fourth wall kind of deal. What I mean is like they're playing themselves. So it's like they're mirroring past movies and it's very self, you know, reflective in that sense. So I do like that because I think the very next thing he did was Scream, which, you know, was a huge success. And I think at that point he had done some movies in the 90s that were more misses at this point. So he was like kind of on the down a bit. And so he did this movie again.
Oh, like the Something and the Serpent. What's it called?
Oh, yeah. The Rainbow and the Serpent. Yeah. Yeah. I think he came out super hot in the beginning, right? Like he did Last House on the Left, stuff like that. Really like serious horror films. So, and he was already considered by the 80s, you know, like when he did Nightmare, he was like considered a master of this genre. So, but I think at this point, he's kind of like maybe his career had waned a little bit. So he decided to come back. And I think for the most part, it's a really interesting idea of trying to set Freddy in the real world and him coming to the real world and then using the first movie and some of the characters like Heather, Robert Englund as real people who were the actors in it and himself, Robert Che, the producer, stuff like that. Pretty much everyone plays somebody that's real. Much of the story, which is based on a lot of these actors' real life. So,
right.
So that part is cool. But yeah, I would say that. And you know what's interesting is a lot of people prefer this movie. And I was trying to think like as to why, because I don't think I had as much like I think I liked it even less than you, John, because I feel that it just falls apart as a movie towards the end. For me, it just completely falls apart. Like, the concept and the ideas that are there are all present, but it gets really messy and mixed up closer to the end. So, but
And then the little subtle changes that he wanted to make, like, oh, you know, because it's like a change. And then even he admitted, like, don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe with these changes to make, like, a different film is I get it. Most people didn't realize that Freddy Krueger's hat was, like, an olive green, but you didn't have to make it, like, a almost bright green. That's my gripe. All right, we'll move on to the next movie. That's it for this one.
Yeah, so they kind of made his so he's supposed to have, like, burn marks classically through all the franchise, but this one they kind of do, like, this skin's wounds kind of tearing apart deal, right? And then they changed, like, the look, you know, the sweater's different a little, right? So it's like these minor changes that, like you said, like, I think he kind of more or less regrets. He's like, maybe I shouldn't have, that maybe not have, shouldn't have been the best way to execute that. But I think it's an interesting idea of, like, changing it up a little bit. So it's like, no, this is the real Freddy. This is not the actor, Robert Englund. So right, I think that was the basis of it. I just don't, like, to his own admission, I don't think it worked.
Oh, also there aren't as many, even though I think he was trying to go back to form to the first film and making Freddy Krueger more of a silent killer, like, barely talks. With that said, though, it doesn't mean he didn't still have a couple of one-liners if you want to hear them.
Yes, I absolutely want to hear these classic one-liners. Unforgettable.
There's one where he says, bitch! I'm just kidding. So in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, he's only got 3 one-liners, according to the research that I've done.
Deep research, incredibly.
On a Nightmare on Elm Street wiki thing. he has 3. First one that goes, pick a pet for the rugrat, bitch.
Okay. It's a good one. Classic.
The next one is, miss me? And then the third one is, hey, Dylan, ever play Skin the Cat? We were discussing how I think most of our lives, we assume that Freddy had all these, like, banger one-liners, but they're all trash. And it seems like 99% of them involve him just calling somebody a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, and I think you told me that he doesn't even talk in the first one, right? Like, not to jump around movies, but in the first one, he never speaks, or he has limited lines or something, right?
Exactly like this movie, basically. Oh, I mean, I guess he talks more at the end of this movie, but kind of the way he is when he's, like, killing people.
Right, yeah.
He, like, barely talks. Because I think initially the idea for the Freddy Krueger character was he's going to be kind of like a silent slasher, like Jason Voorhees.
This was, what's her name? Heather, you know, I'm terrible with names.
Langenkamp's
return to the series after dying on Dream Warriors. And they did incorporate, they try to write her as the actor, right? So
yes,
she, it's mentioned that she also was stalked as a younger actress, right? They would call her house and stuff.
Yes.
So, and Wes asked her if she wanted to be, if she could use that in the script. She was cool with it. So, and what did you think of, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, he even asked her husband, who was actually, like, one of the leading special effects people, to play that character, and he just declined. He was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then the actor that ended up playing that character went on record saying he was walking around all these special effects people that had all these, like, big beards and kind of wearing, like, almost biker attire, which is, like, not far from the truth.
Not far from the truth at all.
Like,
yeah.
That's the way people look in special effects for the most part. Like, I feel like once you see somebody interviewed for special effects, most of the time it's like the one dude that maybe hasn't been doing it very long and maybe wanted to do something more like be an actor is like, yeah, I'll be the face of this, whatever. Cause the other special effects guys are like, leave me the fuck alone.
Right. Yeah.
Blow shit up.
Most. Yeah. I think in that interview, they described it as like, blue collar guys, like for a description, like, you know, normal, ordinary guys, blue collar types.
It's also when you're doing stuff like that. I mean, like most of the jobs in the film industry, the people that make the film, I don't know. I'm not trying to throw shade at people that just do other stuff, but usually don't dress up for work. Usually don't care what you look like, because you're going to be sweaty, dirty, probably covered in some bullshit at the end of the day. So you don't care what you look like, unless you don't mind ruining your nice clothes every time you go to work.
Yeah, exactly. Dress comfortable.
Shit. Hopefully nobody I work with listens to this. And when I say, like, most of the time I just like wear the same fucking pants like 2 weeks in a row before I'm like, yeah, they're pretty stinky now. Cause it's like such a waste of time doing laundry all the time.
No, it's true. Yeah. But yeah. What'd you think of Robert Englund? I felt like he was rather subdued, wasn't he? Compared to his Freddy character, like his performance.
Yeah. I think it was done on purpose. Intentionally to give like a divide, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
That's one of those things. Robert Englund has always been like one of my favorite actors just because he's Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. And then when I see him on the other things, it's like, oh, he actually has a range, but he's only famous for playing this one thing. It's kind of like, Doug Jones is a fucking phenomenal actor, but you only see him in like creature makeup or something.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Bradley, the actor that played Pinhead in Hellraiser, is actually like a very talented and celebrated like theater actor, and he's only known for doing that. Then you have Robert Englund. Oh, you know what? Even fucking what's his name? Voorhees. Not Voorhees. I just always Ernest. What's his name?
Ernest Borgnine?
No, Ernest goes to jail. Ernest goes to like.
Oh yeah, Ernest. What's his real name?
Oh, wow.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Like another one of those, like you only ever knew him as that character, so you never got cast in anything else. But randomly you'll see him in movies and it's like, oh shit, this guy's got a range. Like,
yeah, he was an actor. He was a working actor who got a part that became famous in. Yeah. I agree. I think Robert Englund is like generally if I see him in stuff like outside of the Nightmare series, like he's really good. Like I think he's really interesting. You know.
Which is also why I think it's the only reason he keeps like the beard and stuff, so he doesn't, they're not like, oh, why don't you just put on this makeup? He's like, nah, I got a beard. Sorry.
Yeah, right. What did?
Sorry, what?
No, I was gonna say, what did you think of like the Wes Craven kind of? You see the early sort of ideas of this sort of creating movie within a movie feature.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, now it's been done ad nauseum, I think. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard if somebody's seeing this for the first time, I'd be like, okay. But I mean, I feel like at the time it was really fucking cool. I legit remember thinking like, what if this shit could happen when I saw it as a kid, and freaking out about the hand, the claw, when they were making the animatronic claw at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that fucking like haunting my nightmares. Like, oh my God, what if this actually fucking happened?
Hmm.
Which that part's, I mean, a lot of that stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah. Early on, the early.
Electronic hand. Yeah. Fucking gouging the two special effects people that were helping the husband.
Mm-hmm. I also like the idea of the knives being like part of the glove, part of his hand.
For no reason.
Yeah. It's true in the movie.
Like unnecessarily sharp for a movie.
Yeah. 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 yeah, no, I also like the design of it. Like it made more practical sense. I think that was kind of like maybe an idea Wes had, was just kind of stripping down a lot of the things that were about the look of the character. And one was the glove, which was less of a glove, more of his hand with knives in it, right? Or something.
Yeah. Which the reality is that probably makes more sense. The physics and the engineering of making a glove where the knives wouldn't flop around like fucking crazy if they're at the end of your fingertips. Like, that's the way the reason they had to be fake as a part of the filming process, right? So they didn't fling around whenever he's trying to like kill people.
Yeah, future.
Like, they would have to go to back past like his knuckles, which then his hand would always have to be out, which it kind of is in the movie. he never like closes his fist doing that because he would cut himself.
Right. Yeah. So future filmmakers, don't use real knives. Okay. Let's just
don't be stupid.
Don't be stupid. Okay. Cool. Did you
these things will come to life and then gouge out your assistants?
Yeah. It's Hollywood's it's haunted. Do you have any first thoughts, or you want to go into spoilers? Let's talk about the ending. Okay, let's go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So what part of the ending didn't work? We should describe it, right?
Did Rex actually die or no? I know Rex is just a stuffed dinosaur.
Yeah, the important question. I believe he did just get scratched up. Rex is the T-Rex doll that Dylan had. And now if anybody remembers, the Dylan, the son, or Miko Hughes, is one of those actors you saw a lot in the 90s and late 80s. You know, he was the
boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. He was that kid.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop. And then he was also in Pet Cemetery. Yeah. When I saw him, I kind of was like, I cringed a little bit. I was like, he's not going to be good, is he? So it's kind of like there's very limited kids in Hollywood. They just kind of shuffle them. But
yeah, because his parents were these people. So if you ever read his biography, he was 27 months old when he made his first Scream appearance.
Oh,
that's fucked up.
They relate an interesting story to get him to cry. So I did see so I should probably state that I did watch the Never Sleep Again documentary series, just kind of as a refresher. And one thing they mentioned was that I believe it was Wes Craven or one of the producers was like, Dylan has to cry or whatever, the character. And the parents were like, okay, we can make him cry. We don't use it all the time, but we have a thing we do with him. And so what they told him was the dad tells him,
your entire family was murdered.
Yes. He says your mother's dead. And then he cries.
I remember a story, but it might be a different child actor where they said hey, your dog just got hit by a car. He's dead. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I give this kid a hard time, but yeah, that's really shitty to kind of put through.
Sorry to tell you this right before we were about to roll action here, child, but your parents fucking hate you. They have abandoned you forever and ever and ever.
They're actually working.
Hey, roll action. Roll camera. It's on speeding. Good deal.
In action.
Other interesting little tidbit of information, probably just for us, is this child actor is 37.
Oh, so he was roughly around our age.
Yeah, he was born in 86.
86, mm-hmm. Yeah. Still his elder?
We're way younger than that.
But, younger than him, yeah, he's our elder.
Yeah. Younger, whatever's an attractive age is
what for you, are,
in case you're wondering.
Yeah. When you think about us, it's younger and attractive. I'm assuming.
Yes.
I think the thing that kind of didn't work for me was Heather having to face him again, and then she has to go back to the house, and then I guess some of the idea of so Heather goes and talks to Wes about why he's having to make this movie again, and I don't understand really,
that doesn't really
why
track. Yeah
it was because just
he
kind of
explain anything.
Yeah, he just kind of just like, oh, I've just been writing it. I've been having all these nightmares. Very subtly, right? It's not done with...
I feel compelled, and then...
Right.
I'm wondering if... Hold on. I'll come back to the thought. I just remembered something. The whole... She gets interviewed at a talk show before they announce that they're making a new Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Right.
And there's a part where Robert Englund pops up as Robert Englund playing Freddy Krueger, not what's happening in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or the nightmare portion of it. And he comes out and everybody's yelling, Freddy, Freddy. And he's doing his little dance. It's pretty cool. Apparently is based off a real experience Robert Englund and Wes Craven had, where they were going to go on a talk show. And I think basically to talk about what kind of harm it does to children these movies, and they're like, yeah, it's important to talk about. So they weren't going to deny or like say like it's just a movie or whatever. They're going to talk about, yeah, we understand. And as soon as they came out and Robert Englund came out, all the kids of the parents started chanting Freddy because they were super stoked that Freddy Krueger was there.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to react to that. They're like, just like look at the parents, look at the talk show host. Like, I thought we were going to talk about how this is bad, but how do we explain these kids fucking are stoked to see Freddy Krueger?
Mm-hmm.
Which I was probably one of those kids.
yeah.
But I'm also wondering if this could have been an ongoing series of what happened to each of these characters, right?
Yeah, of course.
Robert Englund also started having visions, and he was painting all these like portraits of Freddy Krueger he was having in his nightmares. I'm like, I would have been interested in seeing in like what happened to Robert Englund on his end.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, let's see more of that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or each of them, actually, not just focus on Heather Langenkamp, which, I mean, she's phenomenal. It's just like there seemed to be like this big universe story happening.
Right, right.
But we're like hyper-focused on one person.
Yeah, because she was like the iconic lead final girl, you know, whatever you want to classify it. So
officially the final girl. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like definitively the final girl of the series, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So the and it was her. It was his, you know, it was his like final girl, Nancy or whatever. So he wanted to kind of like wrap it up. This is like partly why I don't think it worked. Yeah. That's why I don't think it kind of works anymore for me. You know, and it definitely feels like a movie from the 90s, right? Like there's jump scares. There's like all these kind of like 90s tricks that he would use. The most inventive thing was how they made it like about the making of the movie, the new movie. But it was only being made because Freddy was coming to the real world. So those are really kind of fun ideas. Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe they should have introduced other. I mean, I know he was only involved with the first one, but maybe they should have introduced some of the other actors from the other movies.
Yeah. 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 You're right. This movie, part of it was that it was super hyper focused on Heather. And then everybody else was kind of just supporting that because I believe that in the funeral scene,
I agree with you. Give John Saxon more time. If you put him in
John Saxon's
movie,
back. Yeah. Like,
RIP didn't use him enough.
Right, yeah. Didn't, yeah.
It's fucking John Saxon, guys.
He basically
was Enter the fucking Dragon.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, do you want to just quickly talk about the snake?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, okay, everybody dies. Hey, Annie. That's our...
That's my cat, Mickey.
Yeah, very important to the show. She gives us the download pretty much every time we record a podcast. That's a poop joke. So at one point, the kid Dylan is running from Freddy because the nightmare has become reality, and he's going into what I think is supposed to be the furnace from one of the other movies. And he hides in a corner and Freddy is able to fabricate things out of thin air. So I don't know why he didn't win these battles. Made an albino sort of like boa snake. And don't come at me in the comments if I got that breed wrong. But then you hear like a rattle, like it's a rattlesnake. I'm like, I don't think Freddy Krueger knows snakes. I mean, apparently I don't either. I couldn't call what that, but we know what a rattlesnake is.
That's a rattle.
We grew up.
Yeah, see it.
We grew up around rattlesnakes. We know what rattlesnakes look like.
Yeah. This was one of those like ones you see at the zoo that the trainers usually come out and kids pet, the yellow skinned, you know, ones.
I think it's considered an albino like boa or something like that.
Yeah. And don't quote me on this. We didn't check, but like, I don't think it has any venom. Like it just has, so it's pretty safe comparatively to some of the other snakes.
I think, kind of like spiders, all snakes have venom, but the venom isn't necessarily poisonous.
Yeah. I'm not 100%. Yeah. I'll take your word for it. Like, I think that it was just that these are kind of like the ones that are kind of okay to be around kids and be okay around, you know, most adults. So
yeah, like they don't care about anything they can't eat, I guess.
Like, right.
If they're like, you're a bigger person, whatever. But rattlesnakes are just like, yo, get the fuck off me, bro.
Hyper aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. They like to hurt and they can't kill you.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because I think I've said this before, but I used to go around with my friends and fuck with them to hear the rattle and run away, which is very stupid.
Oh my God. Yeah. You were young. This was last year. Yeah.
It's the annual. I was going to use my last name. No last names.
No last names.
The annual Johnny Texas
snake parade. Off.
Yeah. You go around and fuck with rattlesnakes. but black cat firecrackers and big termite and ant mounds.
That's true. That's reason. Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't mess with the horny toad so we can see them squirt blood out their eyes because that's interesting too.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Throw rocks at the fucking wasp's hive. Oh,
yeah, just fight the wasp. Jeez.
Damn, our lives are scarier than this movie.
I know. Didn't know any better. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts, or do we just go to how many 60 spooky bones do you want to give it?
You want to read it? I got no more thoughts. Yeah, no, I thought. Oh, yeah, let's read.
Should you want to do spooky bones now, or do you want to do them at the end? We should do them now. Let's just do them now.
Yeah, just do
them. Yeah. John, how many 60
spooky bones? Unless people just skip to the end of our podcast to see how many bones we give it?
I don't know. Do they?
I don't know. Why don't you let us know in the comments below?
Alrighty, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy. Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Wes Craven's New Nightmare 5.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'll go slightly lower. I'll go 4. Not that it was particularly terrible, but it's just a movie that didn't click with me. Like, I do.
I don't mean to influence your ratings.
Okay. I can't be influenced.
But remember.
I can't be bought.
We are going to move on to what is considered the worst part of the series for the next 3 movies or 4 movies.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
But they could all be 4s. I don't know.
I think the thing that I was most impressed with is looking at this as kind of like, you know, a way into Scream, which is a franchise I also love. We both love, right? To varying degrees. But I don't think I clicked with this movie. I've told you this, before, like people call this their favorite movie and that just baffles me. I was like, I don't understand why. Because it seemed pretty middle of the road. I mean, with some fun ideas, yes, but pretty middle of the road horror movie. So
yeah, I will say this is probably the only Wes Craven Nightmare on Elm Street movie I saw in theaters. Now that I think about it, I mean, yep. I'm not entirely sure if Freddy's Dead came out in theaters.
No, it did. Yeah. Pretty sure.
Wow, because yeah. Some of the editing is
3D.
Real television.
Yeah, it was 3D. Yeah. So, So I'll stick with my 4 for now, and I have an idea what I want to do with Freddy. Freddy's Dead. So, alrighty. Let's move over to our next review, which is Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare.
There's no more. No after
more.
This one, right?
No.
definitely not only 2 to 3 years later.
91. So 3 years later, they're like, we got to milk more out of this Freddy guy. What has he got left?
Yeah, how do we feel about that? Rachel Talele,
yes,
who made Tank Girl, who did the Sherlock with, what's his name? Johnny, what's his name from Hackers?
Ah, yeah. Elementary.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. She did the one with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. She did one of those.
Oh, she directed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for her. I want to see.
She directed, yeah, Doctor Who series. She did some in The Flash. She did with Grant Gustin. The new Quantum Leap series, which, you have to say it, you can skip.
yeah. Okay, so she's a working director. Yeah.
Some Doom Patrol, some Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And then you're like, so there's no way this is going to be bad, right? Except she also directed Iron Fist. So that's where we're at with this movie.
Yeah.
She directed Iron Fist.
I believe this is her
an idea.
I believe this is her first feature. But John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Freddy's Dead, the final nightmare, definitive canon final nightmare.
Never see again.
Coming in at number 3, dreams come true for Brecken.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 2, town confused by plot also.
Yeah.
And yep. Coming in at number 1 for Freddy's Dead, the final nightmare, we finally know Freddy fucked.
Yes. He most certainly did.
So now we know, because I think we were always confused by the nursery rhyme, but now we understand. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. C-U-M-M. I-N-G. And I finally found the rest of it. It says, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better fuck that whore. It all makes sense.
Yeah, and I like this tagline too, because I think it's perfectly describes this movie. They saved the best for last. So.
Who is they? I need answers.
They as in New Line Cinema. So I think people kind of get that we didn't like this movie. This is the one everyone talks about. Like when
they get to Warner Brothers to be like, we know what you guys like. Don't worry. Because historically they've been so good at that. Thank you for DC movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the one everyone, I mean, if anybody knows a little bit about the history of Freddy, this is the one movie that jumped the shark. Widely considered the worst in the 7 that came out, excluding Jason, Freddy vs. Jason. And I think this, from what I understand, this movie was a reaction to the last one, Dream something. Child.
Yeah.
And they brought first-time director and Michael DeLuca wrote a script, which, if you know who Michael DeLuca is, a famous producer, took over New Line Cinema. You know, like, he became like a head of the studio. Also was a writer. And they wanted to go...
Nice.
I think that basically, it's like, the last movie didn't make as much money. Let's wrap it up, but let's do something completely left field. And I think that from the Never Sleep Again documentary, Rachel, they were saying that Rachel comes from like a John Waters background. Like, she worked with, she had a lot of their team that he would use for this movie.
Yeah. I mean, you can totally tell, like, parts of the movie, like, it's like, yeah, dude. This feels like a weird episode of, I think we had talked about it before. There was a short-lived TV series called Monsters back in, like, the
right.
80s.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a lot like that. Like, just weird, wacky music, like saxophone. It almost sounds like rejected porn music. Like, I don't know. From, like, the 70s.
Freddy's, literally, the first time we see Freddy, he is on a broom pretending to be the Wicked Witch of the West because the house is falling on Earth.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that literally, like, sets you up for what this movie is. And they wanted to take him, Freddy Krueger, more into a cartoon. He's also been described as kind of like Bugs Bunny character, which does not work at all, frankly. And
yeah, which, but also let's not deny all the one-liners in this movie too.
Oh, hit me with the one-liners.
Because he's dressed up like the Wicked Witch of the West and he's riding a broomstick and he says, "I'll get you, my pretty, and your little soul too." Memorable.
Yeah.
Put that on a shirt.
Yeah.
I forget that there's like a bus thing on this too, because one of the other movies, I feel like they just try to steal a bunch of the kills from other movies and did them just like bad.
Poorly. Yeah. Yeah, I think the second one is, there's a bus for sure, the second one.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like that, which we shouldn't jump ahead of that, but that one also fucking scarred me.
When I saw yeah, it. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It like freaked me the fuck out.
So this movie was taking risks. It was shot in 3D. Which I was kind of sad we weren't privy to, because they did change the 3D for the video
release. Yeah, they shot this
video in 3D release.
For a lot of our younger listeners that don't know, before 2000, the world was all in 2D. Like everybody looked like flat, like Paper Mario. But this was one of the first movies to actually try to shoot everything in 3D where people were like fuller. And then that's when the whole, like, hey, you need to lose weight thing in Hollywood started, because they didn't realize that people were different shapes.
Interesting. And more influence. Yeah.
These are actual facts by by Johnny.
So they among the many cardinal sins they do is they actually tried to give Freddy a backstory, right? That's always a good idea. Give the scary monster a backstory, an empathetic backstory.
So,
not really empathetic,
so good.
But yeah, but you know. I guess that might be a spoiler, but we could save that part. But yes, he has a backstory. We go back to
TV Corner.
No,
we get no TV Corner this series. Sorry.
We get allusions of Freddy having a past, which were obvious and could totally guess where it's going within minutes of the movie starting. What, you know,
yeah,
pretty predictable, pretty rough, you know, having to sit through all that and then pretend like it's this one thing only to be faked out to be another. So,
and pretty bummer, cameo.
We should definitely talk about cameos. Yeah.
By Johnny Depp. making fun of the very iconic classic anti-drug campaign commercials that came out during that time. If you're unfamiliar, there was these real gritty in your face. I don't know if it was supposed to be targeted to inner youth. I didn't understand at the time. Like, why does this look like a New York apartment? Anyway, somebody's got a cast iron skillet and they're like, this is your brain. And it was just an egg. And then they said, this is your brain on drugs. And then they crack it open.
Right.
It's being cooked. Any questions? I was like, whoa.
Wow.
So he does the same thing, but Freddy comes out and.
In your face.
Kills him? Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's not a real person in this, or is he supposed to be? I don't know.
No, I think it's just like a fun. That's something for the fans, plus like a riff on that famous commercial.
Oh, yeah. It says. This is one of the one-liners. He's like, this is your brain on drugs. Any questions? And Freddy comes out, hits him with frying pan and goes, yeah, what do you want? Looks like a frying pan and some eggs to me. Classic. Put that
classic.
On the shirt.
Damn. I see it every day. I see that almost every day. I'm telling people that exactly. <line.
laughs> Every time that commercial comes on TV, I say that. I promise I do.
Yeah.
How often does that commercial pop up? It doesn't. That's why I'm saying I promise I do.
There's also some good actors and some notable actors in this. You know, there's Breckin Myers. I believe this is his first movie.
Billy Zane's older sister, Lisa Zane.
Lisa Zane, right? I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Yaphet Kotto? Is that close?
Close.
Close enough. I
gotta say, the Zanes sound like they're in a punk band. I just want to point that out right now.
True.
It's like, oh, we got on drums Billy Zane, and we got the singer Lisa Zane, and the In Zanes.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity for them. But I mean, but they also, of course, famously also had Roseanne and Tom Arnold in this, which.
Dude, what a fucking weird cameo that I completely forgot about. And I was like, oh, wow.
I want to say
this that era.
I think I'd only seen clips of this movie. So I was actually not aware they were in this movie. And then when I saw them, I was like, what fucking movie is this? And it actually happens in a weird time also, because right? They go back to like Springwood and the adults are acting crazy. And there's like a, you know, weird circus in town or whatever. Fair or something.
Yeah.
And the adults are just like, since all the kids are dead, you know, they're just behaving like lunatics. And two of those lunatics were Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr. So they're in this movie, if that entices you. So,
yeah, I'd be a little upset myself if I didn't mention Johnny Depp also could have been in New Nightmare.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But Wes Craven didn't want to ask him out of fear of rejection.
Just understandable.
And he totally would have done it, which I would have been like, oh, I would have asked him. I mean, if he's willing to be in this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. What else to kind of dig into.
Just spoilers?
We should.
Like the plot makes any sense.
Wait. No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
How about we just talk about what's your favorite death?
Oh, my favorite death. I'm glad. Yes, that's actually the one thing I liked about this movie was the death of the death kid, Carlos. So there's very few children in this, you know, teenagers, in this movie. But there was Carlos who did have like a hearing piece and he was deaf and stuff like that. And it's actually a really fun kill. I would say it's probably one of the funner ones I saw. It kind of made sense that he has like this disability and Freddy kind of uses it to his advantage by sticking a giant Q-tip in his ear, putting some sort of like alien bug or something in it, and then he's not able to hear him, and so Freddy's like stalking him, and the movie kind of goes quiet, which I thought was really cool. And then he gives him a different earpiece, which I believe is that bug, and he drops pins which are supposed to mimic like grenades, so if he hears the piece he would explode, which he did. His head is exploded.
His head explodes, and then Freddy Krueger says, "Nice hearing from you, Carlos."
Classic. Beautiful line, yeah. Damn. Chills from that line.
I gotta say, I like the, even though it was really crappy looking, the Breckenmeyer's death, he gets sucked into a video game.
Oh, yeah.
He is still flesh and blood on this video game.
Mm-hmm.
Or Freddy Krueger's playing the video game, trying to kill him. And he says stuff like, great graphics.
Bitch.
You forgot about the power glove. Hey, I beat my high score. Put them on shirts. Damn, put them all on a shirt.
They're all of them are. They're all classic lines. They're up there. Good. AFI's 100 lines.
Yeah. If you want to buy our Skeleton Boys merch, we have a shirt that says Skeleton Boys, and then in small print, it's every one-liner Freddy Krueger's ever had.
Yeah. I guess we should reveal now that we're spoilers that Freddy had a daughter, and What? Go ahead.
I was going to say, which I think the fake out we were discussing was that the dream child from the previous movie was like, I think, the John Doe character, which I guess they scrapped that entire idea.
Right, yeah.
I think you're supposed to allude like, oh, he's his kid and going to become what I think you had mentioned was like the new Freddy Krueger. But all that went straight over my head because like I said, within like 2 minutes, you're like, oh, this lady is like related to Freddy Krueger somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She played the psychiatrist or social worker slash social worker, right? Something like that along those lines for the teenagers. And yeah, it's just an origin story for Freddy, and this is his daughter. This is like works just as well as like Papa Teen fucked and had kids, right? So nobody wants to see or imagine, you know, classic villains fuck, right? Like Papa Teen, Freddy Krueger, Darth Vader.
I'm also wondering, is this the only time somebody that's not a teen gets a couple people that aren't teens get affected? Oh no, sorry, the second movie. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Heather Langenkamp gets attacked by Freddy in her dreams as well.
Plus the end fight between, there's this big build up to Maggie, Freddy's daughter, fights Freddy in his mind, right? And they do like this 3D effect with him traveling in his mind.
Which was like a whole fucking, that's where you get all the backstory. And it's kind of like, oh, you get it. Okay.
Yeah.
You see the whole, there's no reveal here. We know what it is.
He killed animals. Check. He was abused by his father. Check.
And like her being the daughter, but she's blonde there. So there's a psych out.
No, there isn't. Yeah.
She's a blonde little girl. And she's like Freddy Krueger's wife after more than 6 years, because this girl is 6 years old at this time. So at least 7 years of a relationship, I'm assuming, finds out what he's been doing.
Right.
And is like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. So he chokes her to death. And then that leads to this little girl going in there and revealing, oh, Freddy Krueger. This is the Freddy Krueger with the glove. And it's like, yeah, we know that. We didn't need to see any of this.
Yeah, yeah. And they had very anticlimactic fight at the end, too, where basically they just sort of punch and kick and stabs very grounded, very fast. Very cheap, I imagine, just to have a basic fight, and he gets stabbed and blows up something. So
because he says, I forgot how much it hurts to be human. That's one of his lines, put on a shirt. I didn't understand the rules at this point, because he at some point is crawling on the ceiling.
Right.
He's also not burnt anymore. He's regular Robert Englund.
Yeah,
I didn't understand a lot of this.
Okay. Do you have other thoughts before we?
No, just that you know that he's dead. Like it is
for sure.
Official. He is dead in this movie, right? Because after what's her name? Lisa Zane's character, Freddy's daughter.
Yeah.
Kind of like fillets him with his own glove for I don't know what reason, and even does the classic like creeping towards Freddy with the way he usually held the glove, which came off like real cheesy. He blows up the three little sperm demons. I don't know what the fuck they are.
Yep.
So they're like
these. That's how I would like describe
sperm,
them.
Sperm demons. That float around and like each have like wacky voices for whatever reason, not even demonic, just like wacky, like we're sperm demons. That's what they said. It's in the movie. It's a line. Put it on the shirt. He explodes. They fly away, or they explode too. I don't remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that all happens, and then Lisa Zane's character says, "Freddy's dead," and then cut to credits. And then we get what I consider the best part of the movie is we get a little teaser trailer of each of the movies we're going to watch coming up, because they decided to do a supercut of all the scenes of the other movies.
Yeah. So he's dead. He's gone. That was it. Yep. No going backs now. Okay. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Give it. Sexy bones.
Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Freddy's Dead 1.8 sexy spooky bones.
Whoa, that... I was thinking like a 2.
I don't know if I can give it a 2.
I don't know if I can give it a 2 either now. I want to say we liked it the same amount. We just liked all the same things about it. So. Terrible. Yeah. I mean, it's a fucking silly, stupid sequel. Like, it doesn't work. Whatever they were attempting to do goes against... They were trying to do something different, and it just was just all the wrong choices. Killed the franchise.
I like Breckin Meyers. That's all I took away from it.
Can't say there was like anybody that was. I mean, there was. I will say though, I don't think there was any of the main actors. I don't think they did anything terrible. I think they pretty much did.
No, they're all pretty good.
They're all pretty good.
And again, you mentioned Yaphet Kotto, and he's like, was iconic at that point.
Legendary actor. Yeah. Yeah. So you're gonna stick with 1.6.
1.8.
Oh, excuse me, 1.8. I will do 1.8 as well, because I don't want to be higher than you. I don't want to... So, it's like a game of chicken now between you and I. But we go higher or lower.
Yeah. And I guess that's our... I'm going to give it 1.8 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah.
And super fan of Freddy's Dead Rolando.
Gives it 11 out of 10.
11.
No, I
11 nightmares.
I hope there's, for the future of the series, that there's some movies we disagree with. That's going to be a little more fun. But this was pretty bad. It's totally skippable.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock your door. 5, 6, get your crucifix. 7, 8, we're dreaming.